This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we'll continue feasting on 1 Corinthians with divisions in the body, Christ, God's power and wisdom, boast in the Lord, preaching the crucified and the Spirit's wisdom. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
The resurrection of Jesus is the source of endless joy, and that's not an exaggeration. It is a joy given to us in Christ's victory over death in his death on the cross and his vindication when he is raised from the dead, a joy that will never end. It begins with the gift of faith. It isn't always evident throughout your life. It's not something you feel and coursing unending flood of joy, but it is an abiding joy that will, one last day at your resurrection, be released from the bonds of sin as you were released from the bonds of sin and death, and will never end. And that's a reason to rejoice, to sing. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're going to be studying the Easter hymn, This Joyful Eastertide. Pastor Will Wheaton joins us. He's assistant pastor at St. Paul Lutheran Church in Hamel, Illinois, formerly served as director of worship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. He's author of the books Celebrating the Saints, Thank, Praise, Serve, and Obey, and See My Savior's Hands, and he hosts the 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study produced by Lutheran Public Radio called The Word of the Lord Endures Forever. Will, welcome back.
Thank you, Todd. Joy to be with you, just like always.
Well, Easter was 3 weeks ago. Why are we still studying an Easter hymn?
Easter's got so much joy that you cannot fit all that joy into a day. You can't even fit it into the 3 days that Easter is traditionally celebrated on, Easter Day, Easter Monday, Easter Tuesday. It just keeps on spilling over, and it spills over for an entire, 7 weeks. 7 weeks of Easter, basically running from the day of the resurrection itself all the way right up through Easter's fulfillment on the day of Pentecost, 50 days after Easter. And the church then marks this time as Eastertide, and that's even in the hymn that we're going to be listening to and talking about, this joyful Eastertide, that is, in these great 50 days, the 50 days of Easter.
What is the primary biblical text that we're dealing with here?
Well, ultimately, this entire hymn is based off of 1 Corinthians 15. Remember what happened there. St. Paul sort of starts out that chapter. He saved a biggie that he had to deal with in that congregation for the very last. And so there were people there that were basically denying the resurrection. What do you do with that? So he says, look, remember the faith I handed on to you. And right there at the heart and core and center of what's really like the foundation for what becomes the Apostles' Creed, he has that he was put to death according to the scriptures, and then raised according to the scriptures on the third day. This raised on the third day according to the scriptures, which doesn't mean according to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, which meant to St. Paul and those hearers there in Corinth, according to the Old Testament scriptures, probably thinking and looking right back at Hosea 6, verse 2. After 2 days, he will revive us. In the third day, he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight. 3 days. Jonah, too. That ties in as well. So in 1 Corinthians 15, after he sort of reminds them of this, he goes right back to catechize them. And so beginning of verse 12, now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some of you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which have fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the firstfruits of them that fell asleep. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 12 through 20. That's the basis on which the whole hymn hangs.
Do we know anything about the origins of this hymn?
Yeah, we sure do. The author of the text that we have in our current form was George Woodward. He was, he lived from 1848 to 1934 and was an Anglican priest who was very much under the influence of the Oxford movement, which, remember, sought to sort of reestablish Anglicans on a more Catholic mooring rather than the sort of merely Calvinist reform bent that had been the case for centuries before. But the hymn itself actually, it has a Dutch precursor, and that thing showed up as early as 1672 as a paschal hymn concerning the necessity of Christ's resurrection from 1 Corinthians 15. We might note that the tune is also Dutch and also from the same century, showing up in a hymnal titled David's Psalmen. We don't know who the composer of it was, though.
So let's listen to the first stanza of this joyful Eastertide. This joyful Eastertide, away with sin and sorrow, my love the crucified has sprung to life this morrow. Had Christ, who once was slain, not burst his three-day prison, our faith had been in vain. But now has Christ arisen, 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 but now has Christ arisen. Stanza one of the Easter hymn, This Joyful Eastertide. So what would you say about this first stanza? And then I'd like your thoughts on the chorus as well.
Yeah. Well, the first thing to note in this stanza is the conjunction of joy and Easter, which you might have remembered I started out with. Too much joy to fit into one day? Well, this hymn proclaims too much joy to fit into one life. Christ himself taught this. Remember, he told his disciples on the day before he was crucified, and ye now therefore have sorrow, that is because he's going to be leaving them, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. John 16, verse 22. So the risen Christ is the utter fountain of joy when he greets the women in Matthew 28. Which, unfortunately, is usually rendered like the King James, all hail, or something along those lines. It's the exact same word that St. Paul uses in Philippians 4:4, when he says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I will say, rejoice. So when Christ meets those ladies, I think he's looking at them and means the word exactly like it sounds. Rejoice, ladies! But notice, it's not just for Easter morning, it's the joyful Easter tide. There are days of joy in the church. St. Augustine once said, we're an Easter people, and hallelujah is our song. This is the time when the church is most church. During these joyful days, she shows to the world the secret here of her hidden and unending joy by the appearances of the risen one for those 40 days that sort of string along from the first day of Easter until the ascension. So let's also note this. Away with sin and sorrow. I think we imagine too often that it's actual dint of will and effort that overcomes such things. That's just wrong. What overcomes sin and sorrow is joy. Joy in the presence of Christ. That's what chases them away, puts them to flight. Psalm 16 In thy presence is fullness of joy. Write it on the heart. In thy presence is fullness of joy. The thought here is perfectly parallel with one of my favorite lines from At the Lamb's High Feast, another Easter hymn, though I think in our last hymnal it might have landed in the communion section so that it would get wider use than just during the days of Easter. But remember these words? Easter triumph, Easter joy, this alone can sin destroy. I think when the worship supplement came out, that's where we first had that hymn in our tradition. It read, Easter triumph, Easter joy, sin alone can this destroy. My friend Bruce came to church with me one Easter, and he heard that line, and he said, that's not the way it is. That's not the way it is at all. Sin cannot destroy Easter joy, not if it's real Easter joy. And I showed him that he was hearing the words with the wrong emphasis. It's not that sin alone can this destroy. It's but sin alone can this destroy. In other words, Easter joy is the thing that wipes out sin. And not just sin, but sorrow. You know, whenever you think about sorrow in this world, you have to think about how in this fallen world, we always experience growing loss and death. We experience a lot of little deaths along the way before we come to that final expiration date for ourselves. Easter joy can even put those little sorrows to flight. Can I give you an example? Is that okay?
Sure.
Our headmaster just took a call to another school in another state, and she and her family have become so precious to us. In the normal course of this world, we realize our days of actually enjoying each other's company, whether listening to her kids play musical instruments or singing next to her husband in choir or playing pinochle together, well, they're rapidly coming to a close. It's a little death. But then I stop and remember the resurrection and what it means. And then the little death is just a sleep, just a nap, till the moment comes when we'll all be together forever, not just for a few minutes here and there, alive together in Christ's presence forever. And I said John because I'm going to get to sing with John Telke again before the throne. The circle will be unbroken by and by. And that also is part of how joyful Eastertide chases away the sorrows that fill our life, the little sorrows, the little deaths that come along. He says, in the stanza, my love, the crucified, has sprung to life this morrow. I just love that he calls Jesus my love. Does that mean the one who loves me or the one whom I love? I think both ways, but primarily here he's saying one I really love. And he's the crucified. I remember Dr. Nagel once putting it like this, hey, the good news of Easter is not that a man was raised from the dead. Men have been raised from the dead before. The good news of Easter is that the man who was crucified for the sins of the world has been raised from the dead. The one who shouldered all our sin and shame and disgraces and owned them as his own has been raised. So they're gone. They're left behind forever. But he, our love, he is alive forevermore. And there's something so jaunty, isn't there, about sprung to life this morrow? Scripture, of course, never gives you the first hint about what actually went on inside the tomb when Jesus was raised from the dead, saving that after he got up, he made his bed before he left the darkness of the tomb behind. But sprung suggests so full of joyful life that he can't just merely get up. He bounces up from that cold slab with a vitality that will flow through baptism to enliven a whole world. This morrow, of course, just an antiquated way of saying this morning. And so can we get onto that refrain? Is that okay?
Yes.
Had Christ who once was slain not burst his three-day prison? Death as prison is a common enough biblical image, but I can't hear it without thinking of the Joseph cycle in Genesis and how he ended up going from prison to being exalted as ruler of the land, a picture that in so many ways gives us something of Jesus. Three-day prison only works if you put on your yarmulke and start thinking like a Jew and realize that any part of the day count it for the whole day. So he dies before sunset on Friday. That's one day. He rests in the tomb on the Sabbath, which ends at sundown on Saturday. That's the second day. And then he rises sometime in the night of Sunday, which is the third day then. Burst his prison. That almost sounds like he, you know, moved the stone out of the way himself, but of course that's not what happened. he gets out of the tomb without moving the stone. Not till the angel descends from heaven on Easter morning and the women are on their way to the tomb does the tomb get opened. But it's an empty tomb at that point. He's already gone. Our faith had been in vain. We have another hymn exploring that same passage. I think it's even more blunt. It's one of Christopher Idle's best. Listen, if Christ had not been raised from death, our faith would be in vain. Our preaching, but a waste of breath, our sin and guilt remain. If Christ lay within the tomb, then death would be the end, and we would face our final doom with neither guide nor friend. If Christ has not been truly raised, his church would live a lie. His name should never more be praised. His words deserve to die. Whoa. Deep, but true. If the resurrection isn't true, if Jesus did not rise from death into incorruption, a glorified, real human body, well, then Christianity just needs to shut up and go away and leave everyone else alone. But you got to love that, right? But now is Christ arisen, arisen, arisen. But years and years ago, Todd, I heard Dr. Jack Preuss Jr. preach on this Easter but and how it cancels everything that comes before it. The example I think he used was, I'd love to go to the store with you, honey, but, he says, don't really need to say anything else, do you? As soon as you hit that but, you know it's wiped out the thing that came before it. And so it is with the but here in 1 Corinthians 15:20. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that fell asleep. That is, his resurrection, it's only the tip of the iceberg. He brings up with him all who share his flesh and blood, all his sisters and brothers, all humanity. He really will raise all the dead.
We're studying the Easter hymn, this joyful Eastertide, with Pastor Will Whedon of The Word of the Lord Endures Forever. He's assistant pastor at St. Paul Lutheran Church in Hamel, Illinois, and formerly served as director of worship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Folks, we'll send you Pastor Whedon's new children's book, They Shall Never Perish, when you join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club during the Easter season. The Reformation Club is a small group of faithful listeners who pledge to support this worldwide outreach monthly or annually. Find out more about the benefits of becoming an Issues Etc. confessor, apologist, reformer, or patron on the support donate page at issuesetc.org or give us a call, 618-223-8385, the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. After this break, stanza two of this joyful Eastertide. Death's flood has lost its chill since Jesus crossed the river. Lover of souls from ill, my passing soul deliver.
We like our crosses full and our tombs empty. You're listening to Issues Etc.
St. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2 that the Gentiles are without God in the world and without hope.
Pastor Brian Wolfmiller talking about his presentation at the 2021 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
Now that's an amazing statement. It means that to be without God is to be without hope, and the corollary, to be with God is to have hope. Christians are marked by this. We have hope. And we have hope not only in this life, but we have hope in the life to come. Our Christian hope expands past death, past the last day, even to the resurrection of the body, the new heaven and the new earth where the righteous dwell. We have this extended horizon of hope, and we dwell under that cloud of glory.
You can meet and hear Pastor Wolfmiller making the case for Christian hope at this year's Making the Case Conference, Friday, July 23rd and Saturday, July 24th at Concordia University, Chicago. Find out more and register at issuesetc.org.
Sent to serve. Across the nation, children are back in 1,900 Lutheran schools serving students in early childhood through high school. Whether in person or through remote learning, students are thriving in programs of excellence in safe, caring Christian environments taught by dedicated teachers. To find a school in your community, visit lcms.org/schools. That's lcms.org/schools.
Jesus the Good Shepherd says, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life." We invite you to join us as we listen to the voice of the Good Shepherd and follow him who gives us eternal life. Sunday worship services at 9 a.m., Sunday school and Bible class at 10:30, Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, Arnold, Missouri, on the web at goodshepherdarnold.org. That's goodshepherdarnold.org.
Listen to chapel services live, weekday mornings from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Morning Chapel from Kramer Chapel. Live weekday mornings at 9 Central, 10 Eastern, 8 Mountain, and 7 Pacific at issuesetc.org.
Logia Journal, the Confessional Dogmatic Series. The works of Kurt Marquardt and many other resources are all brought to you by Luther Academy. Did you know that during this time of COVID-19, your purchases and donations help Luther Academy supply these same resources to pastors around the world? Please consider helping us with this important need through your prayers and financial support. Learn how you can help by visiting lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com.
College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois offers ACT, SAT, and PSAT test prep, scholarship application classes, college and career counseling, and more. Hi, this is Lori Konski, president of College Preparation Station. We have helped our students obtain more than $7 million in tuition scholarships in 12 years. Find out more at cpsprep.com. Let us help you create a vision and find your future. The College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois, cpsprep.com.
In the Confession of Lutheran Dogmatics on Holy Scripture, I seek to expound and defend the doctrine of Holy Scripture in three areas.
Dr. Jack Kilcrease, talking about his new book in the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatics series, Holy Scripture.
One, the absolute truthfulness of Holy Scripture. Two, the Christ-centered nature of Holy Scripture. And three, to expound and defend the doctrine of Holy Scripture in a postmodern environment.
Learn more about Holy Scripture at lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com.
Stanza 2 of the hymn, This Joyful Eastertide. We're studying this Easter hymn with Pastor Will Whedon of The Word of the Lord Endures Forever. Well, before we talk about the content of that stanza, I wanted to notice something that this arrangement with the choir is doing when it slows down to emphasize something very important about the celebration of Christ's resurrection.
Yeah, every time they're coming to the, oh my goodness, what would have really happened if Christ hadn't been raised from the dead? You feel the weight and sorrow of it grow and increase as they just slow down a little bit. And then you get this, but now is Christ arisen? And it goes, I don't know whether or not it really goes faster, but it sounds like it goes faster than even at the beginning. They just burst out into joy over that. And I think that's really huge, Todd. You know, there was a book written by our dear friend, Dr. Paul Meyer, right? A Skeleton in God's Closet. And he just basically tried to explore in novel form what would happen if Jesus really hadn't been raised from the dead. I mean, people are always thinking, well, you know, Christianity would still be there, would still exist, you know. And he wanted to show, no, you know what? If that's really the case, Christianity would absolutely and completely and totally crumble. And fortunately, though, it is not the case that the bones of Christ are somewhere upon the earth. They are at the right hand of the Father, glorified and living forever.
The image here of death as a frozen river that has lost its chill. Talk about that.
Yeah, it almost has echoes of the Greek mythology, right? You know, you think about the river Styx and, you know, it's cold passageway. And yet the biblical image, well, it's running with the idea that for you to get to the promised land, you gotta go across Jordan. And so death becomes sort of like the Jordan River, a boundary to the promised land of the eternal life, which lies on the far bank. I suppose before Christ, you almost have pictured the, you know, this tantalizing vision of the eternal life that lies on the other side of the water that nobody could successfully navigate. They couldn't get across that water. They went into the water and they sank out of sight, never to be seen again by those on the bank. And so the fear of that river took hold. But then Jesus, whose name, of course, is Joshua, right, in Hebrew, Yeshua, he leads the procession through the river and across. And suddenly he's opened up a new exodus. The water is no longer cold and deathly. Death itself becomes something different. What did Jesus say? Behold, I make all things new. All things? Even death? Yeah. We see how profoundly true that is, that when he touches death itself, it's changed by his touching it, passing through it. And I think this is beautifully shown in the commemoration of the faithful departed in the preface for that service. Listen to these words. It's truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, in whom the hope of the blessed resurrection shines forth, so that those who mourn may be consoled with the promise of eternal life. In you, O Lord, life is transformed and not taken away, so that this earthly body is prepared for an eternal home in heaven, therefore with angels, etc. Transformed, not taken away. The cold river no longer can sweep away life, not once Jesus got into that river. And you got to note, that's the river he was baptized in. And so through our baptism into him, he leads us into the promise of the promised land. Lover of souls from ill, my passing soul deliver. Well, we called him our love, and now he's called our lover, but lover of souls. I think you need to hear that as not like your immortal soul distinguished from your body, but soul more in the Old Testament sense, like Genesis 2:7, and the man became a living soul. The breath of life from God animates the clay and makes us be human beings. So lover of souls is just like saying lover of mankind. And we ask him to deliver our passing souls from what is ill. You hear that word, you think sick, right? Something that needs health and needs healing and it needs to be restored to wholesomeness. I love to shock kids and parents when I teach on this by asking why we could possibly teach lies like Psalm 103. I mean, seriously, you stand there and proclaim, "He healeth all my diseases." Really? I mean, really, Todd? How can people say that? It's not true, is it? People die of diseases all the time. But it is true and will be true when you get to sing it on the far bank of the Jordan after you've passed through and by a resurrection, he has delivered you, you human soul, from every ill. The whole joy of Psalm 103 is that it's sung newly wet from passing through the river to the promised land. And because baptism puts you into that, destines you for it, well, we start practicing already what it will be like to sing that song on the far bank on the last day. That's what this Eastertide season is all about. It's practicing for that resurrection life. That's we already have a share of it in Christ. He will raise us into it on the last day, and so we practice for it even now. And so this last verse, which originally came before, but Lutherans liking things done decently and in order reordered the hymn to describe the chronological sequence of most Christian lives, wraps up.
This is the second time that Jesus has been referred to in terms of love. And what we want to avoid is a sappy romanticism. But what we don't want to lose is that this is a genuine human and divine affection that Jesus has for a sinful world. God's heart is open to us. He actually does really love us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I mean, I know how it's sort of become kind of a Lutheran whipping boy to pick on the Jesus as my boyfriend songs that seem to populate a lot of evangelicalism. But Jesus as my divine lover is actually a very huge theme in Lutheran hymnody. You see it in Sola Dorn. You see it in How Lovely Shines the Morning Star. English almost always tamps it down a little bit, but the German, it was raw and right there in your face. And I think the point was, you know, he really does love you with an intense love, a love that, what is it that would lead someone to do what he did for you, to lay down his life on the cross, to basically endure the very suffering of hell itself in being cut off and allowing it to come to him so that it would not come to you? He loves you like that. That's how he loves you. And when we look back at that, we cannot help but then really love him. It can't be sentimental when the price that's hanging on it is so huge. He did what he did on that cross. And so it becomes the sign to us forever. Well, one of the poets said, upon the cross is written in golden letters, God is love. I mean, that's where you see what love really looks like.
Well, Molly Hemingway had recently tweeted something about extolling the virtues of marriage, especially as people wait longer and longer to get married. And she took a lot of heat for it on Twitter. And someone had put up a post arguing against her, saying, well, I don't see how Christians could say marriage is preferred because Jesus never married. And it occurred to me, not yet, but he is engaged and the wedding is coming.
And we're waiting. Yeah, we're waiting for that consummation. Absolutely.
Here is stanza 3. My flesh in hope shall rest and for a season slumber till Trump from east to west shall wake the dead in number. The third stanza of the Easter hymn, This Joyful Eastertide. Take us into this one, Pastor Whedon.
Well, when I hear the words, my flesh, immediately I can't help but think of Job 19, right? My flesh shall in hope shall rest. So what did Job say in chapter 19? Have pity on me, have pity on me, O ye my friends, for the hand of God hath touched me. Why do ye persecute me as God, and are not satisfied with my flesh? Oh, that my words were written. Oh, that they were printed in a book. Oh, that they were graven with an iron pin and lead in the rock forever. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the last upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet, here come the big words, in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. So our flesh goes down to the grave and rests, but it rests with Christ as having been joined to him in baptism. It rests with Christ as having partaken of his immortal flesh and his blood in the Eucharist and it rests in Christ as having become a temple, a receptacle of His Holy Spirit. So that means it can only rest for a temporary time. For a season, it slumbers. Todd, have you ever thought about how often Jesus calls death slumber, right? I mean, stop and think about it. When he is told that Jairus' daughter has died, he makes his way to the house, and they're all mourning and weeping. And as he's putting them out of the house, he says, "The child is not dead, but sleepeth." And, you know, they laugh him to scorn. They know that the little girl has died. And then Jesus says about his friend Lazarus in John chapter 11. He's like, "Let us go to Lazarus. He's Lazarus sleepeth." And the disciples are like, "Oh, that's good. Good thing that he's sleeping. It means he's on the mend, right? He's going to get better." And Jesus has to clarify, "No, I mean, he's died. But I'm glad I wasn't there, because this way I get to show you guys that death really is asleep when it encounters my voice." And that way of thinking about death as sleep also leads us to think about sleep as a little death. And so every day we get this practice where we get to die and rise again. The Small Catechism loves to work that way in the way it treats the prayers for morning and evening, that we end the day by practicing for our death. We start the day by practicing our resurrection. Up we go in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Pastor Will Whedon of the Word of the Lord Endures Forever is our guest. The Easter hymn, "This Joyful Eastertide," is our topic. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. If you're looking for a gift for a young person who is completing instruction in the Christian faith, Ad Crucem has several confirmation gifts like ornaments, icons, posters, and more. Learn more at adcrucem.com, adcrucem.com. When we come back, we'll talk about those words, "Wake the dead in number."
This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we'll continue feasting on 1 Corinthians with divisions in the body, Christ, God's power and wisdom, boast in the Lord, preaching the crucified and the Spirit's wisdom. Join me, Pastor Will Whedon, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
Memorization, that boring thing your pastor made you do during confirmation. Why do we do memorization? What value does it have when I can just look it up on the internet? Well, Pastor Brian Heller, chaplain at Lutheran Senior Services in St. Louis, explains why memory matters in the April issue of the Lutheran Witness. He talks about the great value as you age and get older of having these things, the Word of God, ingrained in your mind forever. Pick up your copy by visiting cph.org/witness today or visit our website, witness.lcms.org. The Lutheran Witness, helping you look at the world from a Lutheran perspective.
Old theology, new technology. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Christian greeting card makers, gift shop owners, laser cutters, church banner creators, ornamentalists, poster purveyors, jewelry designers, fine artists, hymn writers, wood carvers, UV bed printers, and authors all love Issues Etc. And you'll find our work at adcrucem.com. That's adcrucem.com.
Faith Lutheran School in Plano, Texas is now enrolling for the coming school year. What makes us unique? A confessional Lutheran school offering a classical education for preschool through 12th grades. Faith Lutheran School features rigorous classes that incorporate a focus on wisdom, truth, virtue, and the historic Christian faith. Live online classes are also available for high school students worldwide. To learn more about Faith Lutheran School or to submit an application, visit flsplano.org, flsplano.org. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're studying the Easter hymn, "This Joyful Eastertide," with Pastor Will Whedon. He's host of the daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study produced by Lutheran Public Radio called The Word of the Lord Endures Forever. Join Pastor Whedon and Issues Etc. listeners from around the world for a hymn sing at the 2021 Making the Case Conference. The premier conference for Christian laity is Friday, July 23rd and Saturday, July 24th at Concordia University, Chicago. You'll find a conference schedule and you can register at issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385. Making the Case, July 23rd and 24th in Chicago. Pastor Whedon, I'm interested in that last line of that last stanza, wake the dead in number. It occurs to me that we think of that usually on kind of a cemetery scale, but this is a cemetery planet, and it's going to be completely changed when Jesus appears.
Yeah. Yeah, I had a similar thought. On a different part of scripture occurred to me this. It never had occurred to me that in Isaiah 40, where it talks about the stars, that he not only brings them out, but he calls them all by name. And you stop and think about how many stars there are, and every one of them God knows in his personal, intimate way. You know, each one he knows. And in the same way, everybody that's buried in this whole entire cosmic cemetery here on earth, he knows. And when he calls on the last day, up they will get. Now, it's interesting that the scripture teaches that the call doesn't come first, if you will. First, there comes this trump, till trump from east to west shall wake the dead in number. That's based on two passages, really. 1 Corinthians 15:51-52. St. Paul said, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, short for trumpet. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. So his point there is, of course, that when that trumpet sounds and the dead are raised, they're not raised into the state of living that we now know, where we are moving toward the grave. They're actually incorruptible. They're made to live again in such a way that they can never die again. Similarly, 1 Thessalonians 4:16-18, Paul taught, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we shall ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. As they were remembering Thessalonica, they were kind of afraid that if you died, man, you're going to miss out on the return of Christ. You're going to miss out entirely. And he's like, no. They get the first seats. When that angel descends and the Lord Jesus appears, that trumpet's going to call and those dead people are going to rise first. Then anybody that's left here on earth will be changed the same way, transformed. And then together we will be with the Lord forever.
We get to see our loved ones if we're still alive. We get to see them rise from their graves
first. Yeah, isn't that an amazing joy? Can you imagine? I mean, terrifying, but amazing.
Let's hear the entire hymn, This Joyful Eastertide, and then get Pastor Whedon's final thoughts.
Thank you.
choir of Manchester Cathedral with the Easter hymn, This Joyful Eastertide. Pastor Whedon, what are your final thoughts?
You know, it uses an antiquated, I don't want to say antiquated, but a not common anymore grammatical device there at the beginning of the refrain, had Christ who once was slain. This is the subjunctive, and it's actually because it's a contrary to fact statement, right? I mean, that's part of what's lined in there. It's like, man, if this hadn't have happened, it would have been awful. But, and so the joyous, but see, it did happen. He is raised from the dead. And because he was raised from the dead, then Christians literally lived their lives looking ahead, looking forward. People always try to picture the church as backwards looking. That's so stupid. And we're not even fixated on the present. We're not even fixated on the future of this world. We're fixated on the future that's coming when Christ returns in glory. We are those who live in expectation of that final resurrection day arriving. We have our ears cocked like a beagle listening for a sound, right? We're listening for the sound of that trumpet that's going to sound forth, and we can't wait to see that moment where the dead rise. We join the community of those who wait for the crucified to appear in glory. And as we wait, we are a community that is overflowing with joy because we already right now have a share in his risen life.
Pastor Will Whedon is assistant pastor at St. Paul Lutheran Church in Hamel, Illinois. He formerly served as director of worship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. He's author of the books Celebrating the Saints, Thank, Praise, Serve, and Obey, and See My Savior's Hands. And he hosts the 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study produced by Lutheran Public Radio called The Word of the Lord Endures Forever. You can listen to The Word of the Lord Endures Forever anytime, anywhere at thewordendures.org and on your favorite podcast provider, The Word of the Lord Endures Forever with Pastor Will Whedon. Will, thanks.
Hey, thank you so much, Todd.
It's our series Through the Old Testament in a Church Year. We'll be talking next about David and Bathsheba with Dr. Ken Scher.
Built on the rock, children of the Heavenly Father, on my heart imprint your image, rejoice, rejoice, believers, and so much more. Hi, this is Pastor Will Whedon inviting you to join us for our hymn sing at the 2021 Making the Case Conference. This year's theme, Northern Lights, Danish and Scandinavian Hymns. Making the Case is Friday, July 23rd and Saturday, July 24th at Concordia University, Chicago. Find out more and register at issuesetc.org.
The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for April is a devotional resource for middle school and high school teens titled Words of Strength and Promises. Topics include addiction, anxiety, being Christian, peer pressure, sexuality, and more. Learn more about Words of Strength and Promises at issuesetc.org or by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. A great confirmation and graduation gift, Words of Strength and Promises, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month.
This fallen creation is bested by tornado, hurricane, flood, pandemic, and more. LCMS Disaster Response helps our congregations, their pastors, and other church workers to reach out to their members and neighbors with mercy which flows from Christ's altar. We offer quality volunteer training, help for congregational readiness and response, and disaster grant funding. To learn more, visit lcms.org/disaster. That's lcms.org/disaster.
Trinity Lutheran Church in Vilonia, Indiana, is a mighty fortress that stands as a bulwark against the attacks of the devil, the world, and our sinful flesh. We are located in Jackson County, about 2 miles south of historic Fort Vilonia on State Road 135. Join us every Lord's Day for Sunday school and Bible class at 8:30 and divine service at 9:30. Come and receive the gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation from God's Valiant One, Jesus Christ, who has conquered death and holds the field forever.
Sanctifying your vocations with the Word of God. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by becoming an Issues Etc. congregational sponsor. Bethlehem Lutheran, North Zilch, Texas. Faith Lutheran, Rogue River, Oregon. Grace Lutheran, Warminster, Pennsylvania. Emmanuel Lutheran, Pensacola, Florida. Mount Olive Lutheran, Duluth, Minnesota. Pilgrim Lutheran, Kilgore, Texas. Shepherd of the Hills Lutheran, Rathdrum, Idaho. St. Matthew Lutheran, Hawthorne Woods, Illinois. The Good Shepherd Lutheran, Inglewood, California. And Zion Lutheran, Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin. Find out how your confessional Lutheran church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to issuesetc.org, click Support, Donate, and print the one-page flyer. When your congregation becomes an Issues Etc. sponsor, we'll publicize your church on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal.